Welcome back. You're listening to the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. Our program is made possible by the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. You are tuned to Northern Community Radio, 91.7 KAXE in Grand Rapids and the Iron Range, 90.5 KBXE Bagley and Bemidji, 89.9 FM in Brainerd and Baxter, and 103.9 FM in Ely. We're streaming live all over the world at KAXE.org. Now, kicking off our second hour of the Great Northern Radio Show, here's Tree Party. Party. Good evening and welcome to the second hour of the Great Northern Radio Show, broadcasting live from Armory Square in downtown Park Rapids, Minnesota. This is our, that's a good cheer line. Have some tidbits about the Armory. You know, it was the called into federal service in 1940, 1 year before Pearl Harbor. It's the longest serving guard unit in World War II was the 6th Minnesota Infantry right here in Park Rapids. The annex building was added in 1941, and on the site of the original Park Rapids Opera House, which means that since 1914, 100 years of community art and culture and music have been performed from this space. That's all very exciting. And of course, it's fall, which is beautiful around here. Fall means many things in this neck of the woods. It means the changing of the leaves, pumpkins, football, and of course, hunting. Yeah. Now, I live in northern Minnesota. I've lived here all my life. I don't hunt. Yes, I eat meat. I eat meat, and the reasons I don't hunt has nothing to do with a felony preventing me from owning or transporting weapons. This, after all, is the most socially acceptable reason any able-bodied man between ages 11 and 97 wouldn't be out in the woods on opening morning looking for deer to shoot. People here understand probation. You know, it might even garner you some sympathy. Oh, too bad for that guy. Too bad. People don't know what to do with the guy who doesn't hunt on purpose. You hunt, it starts. Nope, I say. Huh. This is the sound that triggers my defensiveness. There is judgment in that wordless, amorphous sound. Nah, I figure I can afford hamburger. No reason to tromp out in the cold. Huh. A repetition of the first sound indicating that this is not an acceptable answer. My family hunts, I continue. They've got a shack up by Cook. 3 generations. I take my boys up there a few times a year to ride the trails, hang out with Grandpa. If I'm lucky, this conversation ends shortly with the understanding that I really am from here. I just don't hunt for some reason. Maybe I'm just embarrassed about being on probation, or perhaps I am impaired in some way not visible from the outside. As long as I don't mention having a newspaper column to write or anything involving the internet, I still have an outside chance at begrudging social acceptance. See, it's not just about the sport of harvesting trophies and venison from the woods. The rifle deer hunting season is a 16-day venerated cultural tradition, usually consciously veering into the realm of tractor pulls and what we on the Iron Range call pit parties shortly after the sun sets. Hunting season in northern Minnesota is 24% eating, 12% sauna, 25% riding ATVs, 20% riding trucks out to pull ATVs out of the mud, 15% driving bigger trucks out to pull that truck out of the same mud, 37% driving whatever's left to town to buy all the parts that broke in this process, 4% in the outhouse, and 41% standing around a fire that slowly consumes wood and various things that are not wood. The remaining time is spent actually hunting deer. That amount varies. I forgot drinking. That is in there too. And no, these numbers don't add up to 100, because what is this, math class? We ain't building a watch here. Cell phones don't work up at the shack. Don't call. See you Sunday, or Monday, or Tuesday, whatever. I once met a guy whose family still lived off the deer hunt. They ate venison year-round on their working dairy farm. That's getting to be quite rare. Most hunters enjoy the season for the sport, the socialization, the simple act of getting away from a workaday world. A not insignificant number of hunters like the evaporation of social norms that occur at the hunting shack. Still other men in this stoic community of Iron Range men deem hunting to be the only time for men to impart any concept of value to the next generation. In other words, you have to go to deer camp. It's a long year of harumphing over the Vikings, politics, and weather between real conversations. Indeed, I don't hunt. It's true. I could. I still don't. I like to observe nature and leave it alone. I don't want to field dress a deer. When someone hands me venison jerky, I'll eat it and pretend to like it, but I just don't care. I have a blog to maintain. And hey, someone's got to edit this audio file on my iMac. I mean, there's all this. Okay, fine. I'm on probation. I beat up a guy at a bar. That's why. It's just easier this way.
Dr. Gary Lundberg, dental office. This is Sue. Yes? Oh, so you'll be canceling then. Oh, my. Well, good luck on your childbirth. Remember to floss your teeth. Floss your teeth. Bye-bye.
Hello? Anybody there?
Oh, I just stepped back, and I just had to put away a file. I'll be right out, sir. Hello, and welcome to Dr. Gary Lundberg Dental Office. How may I...
Hold it.
It's okay,
lady. Hear me out.
A talking deer?
Yes.
But why are you here?
Why do you think? I'm wondering if you have any openings today. I need a cleaning, and I've got a tooth that's been bothering me lately.
Sue, is everything okay out here? I heard yelling. Oh, my mercury fillings? A deer!
Here we go again.
A patient, doctor. He's a patient.
Oh, I see. Well, we don't turn away patients. That's my rule.
Yeah, I know. I've seen your billboard out on 71, and that's why I came in here.
Well, we just had a cancellation, dear, so I think we can squeeze you in.
You know, I have a name.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to... Oh, gosh.
Think you could just call me by my species name, maybe? Yeah, like that appointment, human. See, how does that feel?
What I meant was, I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm just saying I have a name.
I'm sorry, sir. What is your name?
My name is Hrufrig.
Okay. So, Hrufrig.
No. My father's name is Hrufrig. My name is Hrufrig.
I see. Well, we'll get these forms started for you.
Very good. And if you just follow me, I'll take you back where Emily and I will check out your teeth.
So what's with all these pictures? All these pictures on the wall. This one says magnificent trophy. What's that about, Doctor?
Oh, yeah, well, that's been here since I took over this practice 17 years ago. No, it's just that we've never had a deer come in here before. You're the first.
Well, we're here, we're deer, get used to it.
I understand. Listen, I'm going to leave you with Emily now. She's our hygienist, and she'll be cleaning your teeth. Emily, your 9 o'clock is here.
Fantastic. Well, my name is Emily.
Seems to be a theme around here.
Emily, I'm a little disappointed in your reaction. This gentleman... Gentle deer is our patient, and we're going to serve him to the best of our abilities. Right, Emily?
Absolutely. Why don't you have a seat in the big chair, sir, and we'll get to work.
Okay, I don't sit on my back much, but I'll give it a shot.
Well, sure, yes, just scoot on back there, yeah. Ooh, okay.
Well, sorry about that. It's the rut. I don't really have much control over what's going on down there.
Well, it's okay. It happens all the time, I'm sure. Now, we're just going to cover you up with one of these little bibs here. Make a couple, 2, 3 of these little bibs. There we go. Now, I'm going to turn on this overhead light so I can take a look. See? There.
Okay.
Now, great, sir. If you could just turn your head this way a little, please. Turn, please. Sir, I need you to turn your head.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. It's these lights. They get me every time.
No problem. Now, what I want you to do is open up and say, ah.
Ah.
Yeah. I see. Wow, not much in there, is there? Okay.
I know.
I'll just brush it up and we'll get the doctor in here to take a look. It must be so interesting being a deer and all. You know, you have 4 feet instead of 2. You eat plants, sleep outside in the winter. Just can't say I'm jealous of that one. No, really, what an amazing perspective on nature you must have. You know, so many stories. Do you ever see bears? Oh, that must be scary for you. Now, fawns. You've got a lot of fawns, I'm sure. Kids. You know, I mean, they make you work. Like, you work so hard. Don't get me wrong. I love kids. I love hauling my daughter around everywhere to cheerleading, knowledgeable archery. Say, that reminds me. Do you do any hunts? Yeah, I mean, how is your family?
Were you going to ask me if I did any hunting?
No.
What do you think? How do you think that makes me feel? How's my family? Well, let me tell you, about 30% of them are going to die this weekend. And maybe I'll be one of them. Who knows? I don't think so. I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, I'm a deer getting a dental cleaning.
What's all this fuss in here?
She asked me if I did any hunting.
I screwed up.
She does that all the time. She asked the priest if he was seeing anyone when he came in last week.
I don't get it.
Priests are celibate.
Oh, that's funny. That's crazy. Why would you go and do that to yourself?
No idea. Hey, let me get a look in that maw of yours.
Sure thing.
Well, we don't do a lot of deer teeth in dental school, but it looks like the teeth you've got that haven't been worn down by age and eating bark through the long, cold winters are gonna hold for a while. Emily spruced them up. Not too bad. 6 months, we'll see you again.
Great. Thanks, Doc. I really appreciate you accommodating me on this. I had kind of a chip on my antler when I walked in here, you know.
I've got to ask, why did you decide to get your teeth cleaned here? Why didn't you go to the vet?
Well, you know, when you go to the vet to get your teeth cleaned and 30 seconds later you got your arm all the way up in your haunches, you know what I mean? All in your woody gland and stuff, and they can't just do the teeth. It's got to be a whole thing. I wasn't emotionally ready for that today, so that's why I came here. Say, I got a question for you. How come you get paid so much more than the hygienist? Seems like she does all the work.
Yeah. How come you run out in the road right in front of cars when you could just wait a little bit until they go by?
Yeah, touche, Doc, touche. You got me there.
Excuse me, Mr. Gargard. How will you be paying for your visit today?
You know, just bill me. I'll send a couple of bucks down.
The Great Northern Radio Players. Welcome back to our stage, the Sterling Roots. Sterling Roots. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown, and we are here in the Armory Square in beautiful downtown Park Rapids, and this facility really had its start all those 100 years ago, but when you look at it recently, for 20 years, from 1992 until 20 years later, this was abandoned. It was empty. It was falling into disrepair. And in 2009, the folks here at the Armory Square redevelopment project got their act together. The community came together and really started working on this space, making it something special for the people of Park Rapids and the children of the future. It's completely modernized. They received some bonding funds. They're working on expanding and improving this facility even more. So this is the first show we've done from a live construction zone, but it's worth it, and we're proud to be here and really offer our congratulations to the people of Park Rapids for the work they do here. This is how you do community involvement. It is fall, and we've been talking about that. Peak colors, folks. Peak fall colors. People are driving from all over the place very slowly to look at the same trees that were there before, but they're wearing their very best cloak of the year. It's a vigorous time of stealthy sightseeing, trying to see the colors before the leaves drop like tree scat, which they will do As we all know, we are a hardened lot in northern Minnesota. We know what's coming. This is the last chance to see non-ice-related beauty for the next 6 months. Everything else that's glorious over the next half year has something to do with the fact that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Celsius, and 273.15 degrees Kelvin. Everything has to do with that. Everything else besides that is just really mud and anyway, just that's all you got. Summer is a fleeting time here, as we know. It's exactly as long as it's supposed to be. You know, it's just 3 months, just like it's supposed to be, but we have to cram so much into summer here in Minnesota. We know how fleeting it is, so we know we have to try to do things we can't do the rest of the year. We have to just get it all in there. It was a lot of pressure, and it really brings the spirit and the tradition of the summer romance to mind. You know, the uninhibited, unfettered display of love that comes just in the summertime. And of course, as you know, the summer fades and becomes fall. The other day, I work at a college, and the other day I was walking through a long hallway, quiet hallway, and in the hallway I saw a young couple breaking up. I could see, just the body language alone was all I needed to see. They were leaning against opposite sides of the hallway, trying, don't know whether to look at the eyes or the floor or the feet, and there was sadness. I got closer, I could hear soft crying from the girl, and the guy was trying to be cool, but he was clueless, and he didn't know what to say. It looked like he had just caused some kind of harm. He didn't know how to fix it. And as I got closer, they started veering around like goldfish. They didn't know where to go with someone in the hallway, and it was all kind of awkward. The girl, she was wearing these bright, spangly leggings, these very bright leggings, clearly designed for happier times. And all I could think about was how much I would hate to be wearing those pants if I got dumped. So say a silent prayer for that girl out there. We all been there. And we go there every fall in northern Minnesota. We know that the romance will break up. For instance, I've emptied the last box of Apple Jacks in my house. And my wife, the northern cheapskate, got... It's her real name. She has a blog and everything. She got a big sale on Apple Jacks back in July. And we had stacks of these things in the pantry, and I was just going to town like I was 11 again. No more Cheerios, no more fiber, no more oatmeal and nice healthy breakfast. I was going to eat Apple Jacks every day, and I did. I did all through August. The sugar powder at the bottom, pour that on top of the last bowl. And it was glorious, but all good things must come to an end, and the Apple Jacks, they ran out, because they must. This is how it must be. Can't be eating Apple Jacks all the time.
Rest assured, Aaron, Apple Jacks do grow in the winter as well.
But you can't, not in our social construct that we live here, Nikolai, you can't do it. You can't sleep naked all year round in northern Minnesota. You just can't do it. You could in the summer, but you can't do it in the winter.
Is that how you eat your Apple Jacks?
You'd like to know that, wouldn't you?
No.
You can't eat ice cream like it's salad the way you do in the summertime. There's just certain things you can do in the summer that you can't do any of the rest of the time, and that's just the nature of summer slipping away. But we know that there's a true love. There are true and steady friends to get us through the winter. And that's how you know you can make it in northern Minnesota. You find these people, you find these hobbies, you do these things, and sure enough, 6 months, maybe 8 months, could be 9 this year, it'll be summer again. And that's the glory of northern Minnesota. Welcoming back to our stage, the Sterling Roots.
If I borrow you my key. And our courtyard courtship lasted oh so briefly, and I thought you would be oh so glad to meet me. Well, I guess now, see, the pleasure was all mine. Well, if I borrow you my keys, boy, please, please show up at my door, 'cause I clean the place up nice. I checked the house, checked it twice,
The Sterling Roots. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We're broadcasting live in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Joining us again on our stage, our local author and storyteller, Jerry Mavison.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a story that has two points of view. The first one is from outside the house, and the second one's from inside. And I'll let you know when we make the transition. It's called Coming Home. Early Sunday morning, and Leroy stands in the driveway of the home place, wondering who lives there, whether they're awake, whether they're home. The place feels occupied, yards mowed, siding painted, the driveway to the barn graded and tire-worn. No overalls or aprons or diapers on the clothesline to suggest man, woman, or child inside. The mailbox is rusted, the printed name indistinct. Gold dandelions surround the milk can that supports it. He remembers that. A late spring sun peeks over the hayfield, sparkling the morning dew. Air is fresh and unbreathed. The heady aroma of mowed hay rides a gentle breeze. He pulls a stem of grass and tastes familiar country. It's Sunday morning quiet. Morning doves coo from telephone wires. Then the faint hum of a truck downshifting on the highway a mile north. Back when, Dad would be out of bed, climbing into his bibs, Mom in the kitchen brewing coffee, and kids feigning sleep until they yell, "Rise and shine!" Holsteins would mill around the barn door or straggle down the lane. Shep would lie on the concrete stoop, head buried under a paw. What felt plain and homely then feels pleasant and attractive now. Back then, this huge space, this immense arc from horizon to horizon, rendered him tiny and insignificant. Weeks, months, years passed, and he stayed small, a nothing. The cows, the horses, the dog, the milking, haying, barn cleaning, cultivating, and fencing. Where were the clothes, the cars, the movies, the weekend flings? Where were the women? Not here. He remembers riding the milk truck down this driveway to town, satchel in hand, hitching a ride to the city, not wanting to make a fortune, wanting only to escape. Now he's back. His family moved years ago. He doesn't flatter himself to think that they couldn't make it without him. Dad wouldn't admit that. Mom wouldn't lay the guilt on him. He picks a few dandelions and inserts them behind the mailbox flag, then stares at the house. A figure appears in the kitchen window. He manages a slight wave, wondering and yearning. Wondering if he should drive in, and yearning for another chance, a chance to love this place as he remembers it, as he loves it now, standing in footprints he created a lifetime ago. And from inside the house, early Sunday morning, and Claire stands at the kitchen window, peering over the top of half curtains, looking for intruders. The window is ajar, and a May breeze flutters the curtain against her faded nightgown. This is her morning ritual, although she sees the same thing, the same landscape every day. No intruders, just the old dairy barn with its sagging spine, the perennial flower garden, the rutted driveway with islands of grass. Better safe than sorry, she says. Who knows what derelict would find her, an aging widow, easy prey. She turns to the garden and catches her breath. The first peony, an extravagant pink, has burst into bloom overnight. She won't pick flowers for a bouquet. They're lovelier in the garden, as her mother would. What's that at the end of the driveway? A man leaning against the mailbox, his car idling beside him. She hears the purr of the engine. Who is he, and what does he want? She slides the curtain panels together and glances down at her near-naked body. She backs away from the window and combs fingers through her tousled hair. Should she make coffee? Should she get dressed? Should she unlock the door? Should she keep it locked? With one finger, she pushes bifocals up the bridge of her nose and peeks over the curtain. A young man, she decides, from his chalk of wave of sandy hair, average height and build, well-dressed. He's waving. Oh, my God. Could it be Robbie? He's been gone 12 years and was 18 when he ran away and joined the Army. The stranger could be 30. Could be Robbie's size at 30. Oh, my God, get something decent on. She runs to the bedroom and slides a dress over her nightgown, then stops at the bathroom to brush her hair. Robbie, what if it's Robbie? She knew he'd come back. Someday he'd return. She races to the door. As she opens it, the car pulls away. She freezes, then scurries down the driveway, waving her arms. Robbie, Robbie! The car accelerates and disappears around a curve. Robbie, she whimpers. You'll be back, won't you, Robbie? Now that you know where I live, how did you find me? And the man who tormented you, who tormented me, how did you know he died? She turns and stumbles toward the house. It was too early for him to stop, she reasons. Too early to drive in, to knock on her door. But he'll be back later this morning. There's time to bake cinnamon rolls. Oh, how Robbie loved fresh, hot cinnamon rolls, loaded with raisins and smothered with sugar frosting. She glances at the garden and heads for the blooming peony. She buries her face in its soft, silky petals and picks it, then returns to the kitchen to reach for the crystal vase, a wedding present in the upper cupboard. Thank you.
That's Tree Party. Commendable, unmendable scars. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Back again, the Sterling Roots. Sterling Roots. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We're broadcasting live from Park Rapids, the Armory Square in downtown Park Rapids, in the woods and waters of north central Minnesota, gateway to the headwaters of the Mississippi River. Our show is made possible in part by the taxpayers of Minnesota through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. One of the best things about living in northern Minnesota is that we're right along the migratory superhighway of all manner of beasts and fowl. Every new season brings a swirling vortex of life and death, growth and decay. It's fall now. Many of the birds have already left, with more packing their feathery bags as we speak. Fall is indeed a time of great change in the animal kingdom, as you might recall from the story of the grasshopper and the ant, the grasshopper who wanted to play while the ant prepared for winter. Well, we'll see that story retold now with another performance from the Great Northern Radio Players.
Live from Lost Big Field of Grass, this is KBUG, Grasshopper News Now with Bob Calafera and Tracy Legs.
Good evening, Grasshopper Nation. I'm Tracy Legs.
And I'm Bob Calafera. Our top story tonight, no end in sight for the unremitting cycle of eating and mating that began 3 weeks ago. top grasshopper scientists are now saying that they believe this party will never end.
That's right, Bob. And those scientists would have published the results, but the press conference got really crazy and the only known copy of the study was used as a bed.
Were you there?
Oh, yeah. And my ovipositor is still throbbing.
So, do scientists make good lovers?
Well, you know, I'm not even really sure that that guy was a scientist, but hey, who cares?
Well, I was on the other side of the field, filing our next story. Food. There's enough to last forever, and anyone who doubts this indisputable fact needs to stop harshing our buzz. I'm serious, Tracy. I started eating shortly after my early morning random mating with a stranger. I ate a whole blade of grass, nearly twice my body weight, by noon, and there was still grass as far as my compound eyes could see.
Was it crowded?
Oh, packed. I brought the kids, so there's 876 right there, plus the stepkids. That's somewhere north of 11,000.
Oh, Bob, you didn't get married again, did you?
I think so. It's hard to tell. Anyway, lots of grass.
That's fantastic. Well, we turn now to our man in the sky, Jimmy Jump, with the traffic report. Jimmy, where are you now?
I'm 300 feet above the field looking down at the wildest party of the year, 2014. Yo! This crazy bug ain't never gonna stop.
Jimmy, Tracy and I were wondering how we were so high in the air given the relatively small size of your wings, which we grasshoppers use predominantly to create sound in order to attract mates.
You wouldn't believe it, Bob, but so there I am, eating and mating at the same time like a boss. Woohoo! It couldn't be going any better when all of a sudden, whoosh, this big bird picks me up in its party talons.
Party talons?
If I'm there, it's a party, baby. Woohoo!
So you're okay. I've never been picked up by a bird. Sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, never better. That last party was so awesome that if someone's picking me up, I must be going to the best party ever. Keep rolling, 2014. Woo! Don't wait up. We're almost to... Dude, watch it for that beak.
Sounds like he's living the dream, Bob.
Sure does. Time now for the Grasshopper Showbiz Report.
Well, the ice capades came to the field this week. Early yesterday morning, a thin layer of some kind of icy substance was all over the ground. Some grasshoppers started doing axles and spins, and before you knew it, there was music and costumes, too. Just look at that video. Oh,
such form. Look at them go. The ball of light in the sky that provides energy and heat for all grasshoppers has been experimenting with some darker material lately, rising later and setting sooner than before. Experts say that it's just a phase, an experimental album before the heat ball goes back to playing the hits we all love. Titles like Heat, Hot, Sizzle, Hotsy Totsy, and Nuclear Fusion.
That's right. And finally, the sudden disappearance of other insects like mosquitoes, horseflies, and beetles has critics in total agreement. We're just too cool for other species to handle.
Grasshoppers rule.
They sure do, Bob. That's it for the entertainment report.
Yes, and while we'd love to end the show right there, our final segment is part of our legal requirement to share alternative viewpoints on the airwaves of Lost Big Field of Grass. It's a segment we call Buzzkill.
Buzzkill.
Here for a rare interview, though maybe not rare enough, the queen of the ants in the big hill on the edge of the field. Hello, queen.
I am the queen. It is customary for me to be addressed as Your Majesty.
Well, that ain't happening, lady. So listen, you and the ants have been yapping about something called winter. Sounds like an alarmist left-wing plot to me.
I shed both of my wings years ago when I founded my colony. No, what we ants are doing is preparing for the inevitable winter.
Winter? Never heard of it. And I'm at least 5 days older than Tracy, which is why she won't mate with me.
Well, your parents must have known winter. What did they teach you?
I have parents? I thought I was all alone. Why did I wake up alone?
Oh, Bob.
Why did it happen that way?
There. Shh. Now, why did you go and bring that up? You know it upsets him.
It should. Winter is coming. The science is very clear.
There you go with your science again. Mm. Tracy, didn't that bug you bagged at the press conference have some kind of fancy science saying there was no winter?
He died.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mark my words, grasshoppers. Your time will come. Prepare or beware.
Well, there are two sides to every issue. The science is inconclusive. Well, thanks for watching Grasshopper News Now. I'm Bob Califera.
And I'm Tracy Legs. Good night, Lost Big Field O' Grass. Keep it rocking, Grasshopper Country. Hey, is it getting cold in here? It feels cold.
I don't own any pants.
Party. Well, he's back for a quick encore. Here's another story from Jerry Mavison.
I'm going to take you back to my hometown, Nimrod, to the men's coffee table. Every small town has its rituals, some not original or unique. Such was the coffee clatch at the Nimrod Bar and Grill when I arrived. Monday through Saturday, school began at 8:30 and lasted for about an hour. That's the good news. The bad news is that school is segregated by sex. Men sit at the back of the room, women at the front. Political correctness in the form of integrated tables is not expected within this millennium. School subjects at the men's table include politics, the weather, cattle market, the weather, gas prices, and the weather. The ritual at the Bar and Grill was at least 10 years old, beginning in the Harvey Horton ownership years. Members come and go, some to Texas for the winter, some to schedules that preclude such perks, some to the great hereafter. There are no memorial chairs for the departed. When I first noted this ritual, I figured a person had to be born into the circle, something like the House of Windsor. It wasn't assigned seating, although men tended to sit in the same chair every day. But there was always room for one more, especially if he was an easy touch.
Pull up a chair, Ray said one morning. I felt like I had arrived, like the day Dad handed me the reins to the team of horses and gave me my own wagon of grain shocks to drive to the threshing rig. Dolores and Donna kept the coffee cups full. Somebody had a donut, another a cinnamon roll. The banter shifted into high gear. Harold talked about harnessing his team for a winter workout. Jerry reported on turkey biology. Jack was reminded of a joke. Ray complained about cattle prices. Bill nodded in agreement. Dave told the story of the six black cats. The hours slipped by. Time to square up. But not a simple check for each office coffee drinker. Not a total check divided by the number of coffee drinkers. Out came the dice cup. It's a tradition to soak the new guy, even better to get some of the area code 6112 money. I'm not a dice roller, and it showed. The process of elimination was complicated and highly energized. The dice cup went round and around. Snake eyes and ducks and boxcars appeared and disappeared at the speed of light. Horses were on men instead of men on horses. I was impressed with the physical and mathematic agility of these folks. They shook for coffee, the number of shakes, a permutation of the number of coffee drinkers, with one man eliminated per round. They shook for donuts and rolls. The dice cup tumbled like it was possessed. They shook for the tip. The shouting was loud and discomforting. There was a side bet on whether loser Dale would get stuck again. The early winners, eliminated in the shake for the tip, stood, stretched, and resumed normal breathing. I didn't pretend to know the rules. I kept shaking until someone grabbed the cup. It was finally over. 30 minutes for coffee and 30 minutes to determine who paid. I won't do that again. I love the camaraderie, but this is way too complicated for a business major. Besides, Ray says I shake the dice funny.
Jerry Mavison. Jerry's a writer from this area, wrote the column The Nimrod Chronicles, and has a book of the same name. He followed that up with a collection of short stories, Broken Heart, and in 2014, Good Shepherd was another collection of short stories. He's working on another collection, Animal Life. He's a member of the Jack Pine Writers Block in Park Rapids, and he's still associated with the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis, Jerry Mavison. Hey, this is the Great Northern Radio Show. Welcome back for another song, The Sterling Roots.
Smell is in the air.
The Great Northern Radio Show is a production of Northern Community Radio. The show is made possible by support from the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Find our podcast at kaxe.org. Our stage director is Northern Community Radio Program Director Heidi Holton, with help from Tammy Rabowski. Broadcast audio production by Dan Haug and Chris Juleson. Our associate producer, all the way down in Chicago, is Erica Coda. Additional production assistance from Charlie Polkerbeck. Thanks to Maggie Montgomery and the staff of Northern Community Radio, the good folks here at the brand new Armory Square stage in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Alan Zemek, who's been helping us. Luann Herdloff. Thanks to our musical guest, Tree Party. The Sterling Roots. And our house keyboard player, Nikolai Koivinen. The Great Northern players tonight include Lauren Nickish on sound effects, Britt Amit, Sarah Breeze, Brandon Chase from Park Rapids, and CJ Anderson. Thanks to our guests, Bernie Cunningham, Dean Johnson, Jerry Mavison. The show was written by Matt Nelson and myself. I'm Aaron Brown. Hey, our next show will be a special co-production with WOJB on the Leech Lake Reservation, broadcasting live December 6th, 2014 from Northern Lights Casino in Walker, Minnesota. Lucky 13, our 13th show at the casino. Thanks for listening to the Great Northern Radio Show. Thank you, Park Rapids. Thank you all. Good night. One more song from our friends, Tree Party.